Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
This is going to seem like it's totally out of left field here. Which reminds me, just having said it, remember when we used to do questions from left field?
No.
No?
No, I remember 10 opinions in a row.
10 opinions, sure.
Question.
Here's a question from left field, and we would call it questions from left field a long time ago.
Is that sponsored?
No, that's why we stopped doing it. I don't know. Talking with a friend about watching hockey and how, like, I'm just not that excited to do a lot of it. And he said he thought it was a different league. I was searching this earlier, and maybe it was like a pretty small, low-level pro league or even a semi-pro league that I was reading about. Joe knew the name of the league, or he looked it up. But some league did shootouts at the beginning of the game.
Oh.
They did shootouts first. 7:05, right? Here's the shootout.
So same concept. You already know who won the shootout, and
right.
So if it's needed, it's already been decided.
It's over. That's right. So the teams know who gets the extra point in the event of a tie.
Right. So that would change how you would compete in overtime.
Yes.
Pretty drastically.
Yes.
I'm not sure. That
and I don't think I've ever thought about this or heard about this, but I think I like it. Do the shootout first.
No, I don't want to watch 5 minutes of a team getting the puck and just trying to keep it away from the other team because they know they already won the shootout.
Could they do it?
Sure. Yeah, I think you could.
Well, the point of the 3-on-3.
I mean, to some extent, you already see.
Is the keep away.
Controlling, right.
I mean,
you get enough of that already, and then, you know, oftentimes you'll watch and you get like a minute of frantic action and then there's the goal and that's it. And then they're like, boy, that was incredible. And like, really, like 3 minutes of it were absolutely unwatchable. But, you know, you did get an incredible play to finish it and like that's everybody's happy. I think you'd get that in a more, I mean, you'd have one team desperate and the other team just playing defense. I don't know. I think there's a problem in that.
I wonder if you could really play defense. Also, you could extend the 3-on-3 if you were to do
sure.
this. You could do that anyway.
Yeah.
I was reading about how there's going to be a new league. There's an attempt at a new league coming up, which is 3-on-3
hockey. A 3-on-3 league that, yeah, it's being picked up by CBS Sports Network or something in
mm-hmm.
America. I think it's on TSN in Canada. I read a little bit about that.
And, I mean, do you like the argument that they should let the 3-on-3 go for longer?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I still hate the shootout. I mean, the actual concept of points being awarded or a point being awarded for winning in the shootout. Like the actual act of watching Jack Eichel take a breakaway against Henrik Lundqvist, I get that that's compelling, but the whole thing is just...
It's not the game to you.
It's not the game. 3-on-3 isn't even the game. I mean, but I would rather have more 3-on-3 to alleviate shootouts, to decrease shootouts. I would think you'd get fewer shootouts if you extended overtime.
This is maybe not exactly in line here, but the XFL is for its overtime. Oh, what are they doing? It's like the home team gets it one way and the visiting team, like they're not doing coin flips, I think. Joe, do you know this? The XFL rules, like a couple of weeks ago, I was ready to go on the XFL rules and I brought it up once and you're like, I'm not watching the X, I don't even care, I'm not even getting, and then I just sort of stopped thinking about it. But the overtime, I know that they're also doing in the XFL.
I don't like any of it.
I know they're doing a different kickoff. I didn't hear anything about the coin toss or anything.
They're doing a shootout style
right.
overtime.
Yes.
Where you get like X number, five
yep.
five rounds from the 5-yard line, like five
yeah, that,
plays from
right.
the 5-yard line.
Right.
But I'm thinking of something else, like the home team gets the ball first or the visiting team gets the, something like
that.
Yeah,
I didn't see anything about that. I did see something outside of what you mentioned to me about like the format of overtime being, whether it's the five plays in a row and that's a round and then the other team gets five. I can't remember how that works.
I think the three-on-three in the NHL is great. And, you know, you do see everybody. The team, the number one priority is keeping possession.
Right.
So this probably should a four-on-four and five-on-five should look.
Right. So all
know,
I'm
keeping
yeah.
possession.
Well, yeah, frankly, yes.
Passing it back to the goalie.
All I'm saying is if you had the shootout first, I think you would get a team would be even more incentivized to just try to do that. Whether they could do it or not is you mm-hmm. know, because mm-hmm. everybody wants to have the puck as it is, like you're saying, but I'd rather have the outcome not determined already when you're playing the three-on-three.
Maybe you want to make it longer if you were to do that.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't sense that there's any yeah. sort of call for this.
Did you see what they're doing at the All-Star game this year?
Nope.
The NHL has added a layer to the skills competition, and they are, and I am not making this up, they are going to have, I think it might be pretty cool. I have never seen it. I didn't watch the video that is said to have sort of jump-started the idea, but players are going to be in the stands.
Uh-oh.
Like on like what would amount to, I guess, about the 200 level, shooting at targets from there on the ice.
All right.
They are going to reconfigure the netting that extends above the glass to mm-hmm. protect the fans, to lay that over the top of the fans that would be in danger of being mm-hmm. hit by a mishit puck.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have guys shoot, I don't know if it's all the way to the other end or just various targets around the ice, but they're going to have like a target shoot from, up in the stands.
I like it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I watch that show every year anyway, the skills thing.
You do.
It's really grown on me. Ever since, Owen got interested in hockey, that was a show that we watched and we still do. But that I think that sounds pretty cool.
I'm having flashbacks to when my son, it was a Nashville game, threw his sippy cup over the glass in the suites.
Oh, right. Okay, not onto the ice. But
no,
yeah.
He didn't. Well, on the ice would have been better. Because it would have been really far. But right. That would have been better than the horrors
of
watching him throw it like straight down onto people in the crowd.
But at least, yeah, well.
Oh, my gosh, what an awful feeling that was.
Yeah.
You know, he's just sitting there the whole game. We're in the suite at work. He's sitting there the whole game. He's like two or something. He's got his sippy cup, right? He's got his drink. And I don't know why, just late in the game, he had an impulse to fire it into the crowd, and that's what he did. And it probably was – it would have hurt. It would have hurt.
It felt great getting hit with that. No,
right. So that's, we grab him. Like there's 2 minutes left in the game maybe, and we're in the suite, and we grab him, and like we got to get down there and apologize for this. We got to account for this. So you go out the suite, and then you go all the way around to where, like, the one exit is, right? And then down, maybe there's two or three. I don't know. There's not many.
There's
you have to do that sometimes from the suite.
Two points of entry on the suite level that I know of.
You got to walk all the way down to get out and then down the steps or the elevator or whatever it was, and then down and then all the way back over to that section. And by the time we got there, the game was over.
Everybody was gone.
And people were, like, filing out. Like, we did not see any sort of obvious scene there or anything like nobody was
anyone
in
distress,
real trouble
security seemed. Hey, I got hit by a sippy cup.
Yeah, and we just felt like there's no move here.
We're gonna have to write a report.
All I'm gonna do is go on the air tomorrow and apologize for it, hoping the person who got hit will accept the apology. I don't know,
like, sort of like I've done since 1996 when I've said sorry to whoever it is that my friend and I dumped full beers on at the final game at the Odd
before you got ejected,
because that's what caused us to be ejected from the game.
And why did you do that?
It was a mistake. We didn't mean to do it. We
you just knocked him over.
We were in my standing room spot in the on the orange level. There was this great spot in a corner where there was like this huge pillar running up. It was the only pillar like it in the building. I don't know if it housed plumbing or electric, whatever. Just it was, I think, some part of the infrastructure of the building, right? And from there to the right, there was a spot for like three people. So that was when we'd go to games, with standing room tickets, so he could make a beeline for that spot.
That's where he wanted to be.
That's where he wanted to be.
Yeah.
You never, you know, just fine. And as that game wore on, we had been leaning over the wall with our beers and dripping occasionally on people. There was a big drop to the seats, like, I don't know, 20 feet maybe down to the seats at this one part of the standing room. And we didn't know we were doing this, but we got the people complained. Security came and, you know, admonished us, and we said, we're really sorry. We didn't realize
Yep.
We didn't mean to be so inconsiderate, you know, whatever. And it seemed all fine. The people weren't thrilled, but it was, honestly, we were being really inconsiderate, but we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like in the second intermission, maybe. And in the third period, my buddy accidentally knocked a full beer over.
Oh.
That was sitting on the ledge, knocked it over right on those people. And I remember he was, as I remember the story, maybe he remembers it differently. His impulse was, we got to get out of here. But that's how he parks. We got to get out of here. I'm like, no.
Own it.
I'm going to stand here.
How do you like that?
I'm going to stand here, and we're just going to eat this. Because
the last night ever in the building.
We already have been warned. We've inconvenienced these people, and now this happened. And I'm sorry. I just need to stand here and own it. So we did, and security came. The people never came back up. But I remember the guy's face looking up at me. Like, and I was just like,
ouch.
Was just like, I'm so sorry. And security came, and we got ushered out those back stairs. And the whole time, my buddies, like, protesting, like, guys, just let us off at the Reds. I'm like, dude, just shut up. Shut up. The whole way down the stairs, he's begging to be left in the building.
One security guard?
I think so. And, no, I can't remember.
Okay.
But if it was two, that's the max. It was not a whole big crew of people.
Because
it was not a confrontation. There wasn't a fight happening. It was just
like,
oh, those guys again.
Yep.
And so, you know, they came and they got us. And my buddy's, like, protesting to be left in the building. And I was like, just shut up. Just shut up. Shut up. Finally, we get to the ground floor, out the steel doors, the doors slam behind us, and we're standing there outside the yard. And, like, the banners are coming down. You know, like, the whole thing is starting to happen. Like, this is right as the game had ended.
Wow.
That door slammed.
You know the story, Joe?
That was brutal. The door, it was just so, you know, the finality of it. It's the last game at the odd.
Yeah.
And you have a door slam on you.
Right.
And the whole thing is about to, you know, everybody's going to be crying and it's emotional. And I'm standing there on whatever, Tupper.
Yep.
It's like, yeah. We went home. We didn't speak. We got to my apartment. He walked to his car, got in his car, and went home. Like, we didn't talk for days. We were just so brokenhearted and just felt like the biggest losers ever.
How about that?
So I didn't get around to retelling that story on Odd Night, but there you go. There it is. You talking about your son throwing a sippy cup reminded me of the horrible final game.
You know
what?
Odd. I'm over here trying to think of a player who's being pushed out by the Sabres is, like, stands above as the most memorable or the most sort of the roughest, you know, like, you are out of here.
Exodus.
But yeah. I can't think of anybody who's perfect for that.
Pekka.
I mean, there have been guys who've been traded and guys who've been fired, and I don't know. Okay.
Like, they sat out a season and then got traded.
Yeah, like, who did the Sabres just, like, turn back time to get rid of? You know, it's just,
yeah.
It's the last night of the season, and you get thrown out.
Right.
And speaking of beer, so you knock this beer over. It's funny because the thing I'm about to bring up is maybe just about to happen in this game we're watching on the replay here at 716, the Chiefs game. Did you see where the Chiefs scored the one touchdown and Eric Fisher, the lineman, grabbed the two beers?
And slammed them together and then poured them over his head.
Yes. So my wife and I watched that as that happened, and we disagreed on whether if we were the fan, we would like the moment. This is the play, right? This is it. It just happened.
Yeah.
This guy goes into the crowd, 81.
Yeah.
Bell
here
is his name.
Eric Fisher.
And he grabs two beers. We're just
right.
happening right now.
Right.
He grabs two on NFL Network. He grabs two beers, crushes them in his fingers, and just dumps them over his head.
Right.
And I said, that's terrible. Like, what does this guy do? He's in the front row. Like, really? It's the beginning of the fourth quarter. I got to go back up.
Right.
All the way back up.
I definitely thought
and
all
she's
that
like,
through as it happened.
You
I thought,
did.
Like, I thought, that's $30.
Right.
Right.
And she was like, no, the fan would be happy that, like, you had this moment.
Yeah.
Eric Fisher took my beer. Like, you're not happy. You just got to get some more beer.
Right.
So you're yes. with me on that.
Yeah. I'm not sure you wouldn't be happy because it is a pretty cool, it's a pretty cool moment that you're there for, but yeah.
It's not knocking them over. Like
right.
You, it's not just losing
right.
them.
Right. The but guy chose to celebrate with them by wasting them, basically.
Yeah, he just took
he just took them and poured them all over.
Don't leave the beer out for the players. You never know what could happen. But you're in the front row, and you just look. You know, you really wanted that beer. And you look, you turn around, and you look up all those steps.
Right.
Just to, you have
and not to mention it's the fourth quarter.
Right. Yeah. It's probably the end of the beer.
What are the rules?
Sales.
They might cut it off after the third quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, some places do that. I'm not sure what the rules are in our place anymore because it's been a long time since I bought beer there. But
if you were thinking about quitting beer, this would be a great opportunity to do that. I had a beer.
Right.
Eric Fisher took it from me and dumped it over his head, and, you know, that was my sign.
Right.
I really didn't need it. I really don't need it, and this is my sign. Like, I'm done.
All right.
If you were that person, maybe right. this would be your moment. That would
yeah.
be a good story.
Yeah.
This is when you decided
yeah, like
to stop drinking beer.
I'll bet I didn't go looking for it, but I'll bet because of how the playoffs go in a town like Kansas City and you know, probably it's similar enough to here, I think, that there's been a story that somebody's gotten a
yeah,
hold of
maybe.
Those people. That's out there, I think. Like, you know, and but I don't know it. I'm not positive of that, but it wouldn't surprise me. If there's been either a television news story or some write-up somewhere about someone interviewing him, like, how did you feel, or her, how did you feel about your beer being used in that way, you know?
How about if the guy that you or your friend dumped the beer on at the Odd and the person that got hit with the sippy cup was the same person?
Oh, my God.
How great would that be? I mean, yeah. not great, but how amazing would that be?
All these years,
it's like winning two
I've
lotteries.
Never, I mean, I don't tell this story a lot, but... We're, you know, it's probably somewhere a number between a half dozen and a dozen times I've probably told this story over the course of 25 years. Because it happened, I mean, that's the first year I'm on the radio. Like, I remember being scared I might get fired
mm-hmm.
for getting thrown out of the Odd. I'm new at this. This seems pretty bad. But I never heard a word from, who you know, the people. All these different times telling the story, nobody's ever reached out to me and said, I know that guy, or, you know, whatever, because they're there for the last night in the Odd, and they got beer dumped all over.
Yes, they did.
You know, that's not so great either for them.
Maybe they're somewhere talking about how awful it was, or maybe they're somewhere talking about how it seemed appropriate.
Right.
Who knows? You don't know the story. You don't
so
know the rest
I've never
of the story.
Known. I think there was, that was the last hockey game in the Odd. I think there was another event there. Before the building was shuttered for good.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that event was and whether or not people would have been thrown out of that event for whatever. So I'm not sure that I would think the last person thrown out of a hockey game, a Sabres game at the Odd.
Yep.
But I don't know for sure if whatever happened between then and the closing of the building, somebody else got thrown out. So I'm not sure last person thrown out of the Odd is actually correct.
Legal history, Ray. Legal history. Jason Botterill, Sabres GM, after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at 716. Pregame at 6 for Sabres and Vegas downtown tonight. This is WGR.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Buffalo Sabres GM Jason Botterill joins Schopen and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. And by Fallsview Casino Resort, Niagara Falls, Canada.
Welcome back to
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
716, we are expecting a visit from Sabres GM Jason Botterill. He is not here at this time. They're usually early for these. We've had a sort of a weird... They're coming now?
Yep.
Okay, good. We might have gotten to back on the air here a little bit earlier than usual, too. So.
Yep, they're on their way.
Tonight, it's the Sabres and Vegas Golden Knights. Linus Ullmark, Marc-Andre Fleury, the starting goalies. Jonathan Marchessault, star for Vegas. He is expected back tonight after a few games out of the lineup. The latest report I saw on him today was that Marchessault should be back. And we'll see about the Sabres lineup as we get closer to faceoff. Good to go? All right. Jason Botterill with us now. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
This has been like we've been missing each other a couple times lately, but
yeah,
you made it.
I think I was supposed to be on, and we were in the middle of the Scandella and Frolik trade at that time. So
right.
I do appreciate your understanding from that. But Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year. That was interesting. Like, yeah. So Chris Bandura from the front office called me early that day and used the term league call. And in retrospect, that night I thought maybe that should have been a term that I would associate with a trade. Now, there was no news of a trade at noon that day, but I wonder if that was a
no,
a
and
tell.
That one took a little bit longer just because Frolik did have the no trade clause, and it was there was a few different things in it, because obviously Montreal had a trade going with Ottawa,
right.
Then the trade with us. We then had the trade with Calgary going, and it was one of those things where you knew everything was correlated from that, so it sometimes took a little bit to organize it all.
So you had to wait for Montreal to make its other move.
Yeah, it was one of those things where you knew everything was contingent on the other one working out, and obviously it was in contingent on Frolik waiving his no trade too, it wasn't a situation until Calgary went to talk to Michael after their morning skate. So it was one of those things too where Calgary was having a game, we were having a game that day. You had a few things to get through and stuff, but
right.
Glad it worked all out for our group here.
Sure, very understandable. I think maybe a lot of our audience was kind of hoping you wouldn't show up today, because that would mean something was happening. I mean, I hope you don't take that in the spirit it's intended, you know. But with that in mind, like how do you feel about where your team is right now? Like what do you think can still be accomplished this year?
Well, I think it's a situation where we've you know, coming out of the break at Christmas time, I thought we played very well against Boston and Tampa Bay. To get 0 points out of those three games was disheartening, for sure. I liked how our group responded against Edmonton and Florida there. Going into St. Louis, that's a level that we still have to get to, that upper echelon in the National Hockey League. And the way I look at the league right now, I think there's – you can may have debated a little bit, but I think there's seven or eight really very top teams, and then everyone else can beat anybody on any given night, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here right now and stuff. And you know, I thought you know, it was important that we got the victory in Detroit after a game against Vancouver where, you know, that's a game that we have to find a way to win 3-3 in our own building. You know, we have to find a way to at least come away with points from in that situation there. So we got three games here before the break. Have our father's trip starting tomorrow. I think hopefully just in a little bit more added incentive for some of our players, and then we'll see where we go from there.
In that calculation you revealed about seven or eight top teams, is there room for you as you break that down to make the playoffs? I mean, you're 7 points out, I think, at the moment. We talked earlier about last night's Philadelphia-Boston game and brought up Marchand whiffing on that shootout attempt.
Yep.
And Bulldog's like, well, my first thought was that's two more points for the Flyers. I'm like, good thing you're here, because I was not really thinking of it that way. Like, I wondered if you're watching that game thinking the same way.
Trust me, there's going to be a ton of three-point games. The teams are going to go continue to work on some teams are going to get hot, and you've seen it throughout the league and stuff from that standpoint. What our focus has to be is our own internal how we play. how we're doing against our own teams here. And, you know, I know Ralph has mentioned a lot about winning two out of three games, you know, trying to minimize things. And, you know, you can't always look at the big picture. I think our group has excelled when it's tried to stay in the small picture there. Our focus here now is on the next few games here, see where it goes from the break, and then materialize from there.
I guess.
But if you're scoreboard watching in January, look, teams around you are going to win. It's just that, and especially when they're playing against each other all the time, and there's going to be a lot of three-point games, how close the league is.
I think, if I may, this may sound like you think your team is at a level where someone else might think that more dramatic changes are necessary to see this team actually, you know, really compete. I mean, you're at an 85, 86-point pace. Would that be wrong? Like, do you see this as a team that's close to really rising?
Well, we haven't had the production yet. We haven't had the results yet, so we still have to improve 100%. Like, there's a situation where, you know, we're not an elite team by any means, and should we be in a conversation for playoffs? Well, yeah, I think we certainly should be in that conversation, but, hey, we can continue to talk about it, but we have to go out there and actually have the results. Like, it's one thing to play well against, hey, the Bostons and Tampa Bays, but when we have a 4-1 lead at home, we have to find a way to finish off that game. And it's good that we're playing well against those teams, but now finding better results is certainly that we have to do.
When you face a situation like that, the 4-1 lead against Tampa is a great example. How do you feel like your coach is handling the
yep.
team? Like, is that tough talk time? Like, how do you think he proceeds in those situations?
Well, I think one of Ralph's best things was the day afterwards from that standpoint. Look, it was a disheartening loss. It was a situation where we talked about it. Tampa Bay, you know, we knew coming into the season this year they were going to be a top team. To go 0-3 against them and then going into that game, we had certainly circled that game as an important challenge for our group. And I liked how we came out, got the lead from that standpoint, got some secondary scoring, which I think was key from that in that game, and then to let it slip, to go from sort of a festive environment in the second period to, hey, losing the game at home, it was difficult. And then what I liked was what Ralph did with our group to try to refocus them to get back on taking it small. The playoffs, hey, we'll worry about that another time, but what we have to work on right now is get back in the swing of thing. And then we start the next game against Edmonton. It's not a great start. It's down 2-0. Like, okay, everything could unravel here at this point. But our group found a way to get that win in that game and then went and had a strong game against Florida. So
that, yeah, so that's New Year's Eve,
yep,
the Tampa game, right?
Yep.
And, yeah, New Year's Day is the day that I don't attend these practices or the news the news conferences, but the video that the team posted, he just spoke for like 15 minutes, and I watched every minute of it.
Yep.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't often do that. I hear highlights, and I read what happened. But I sat watching that, and I loved him,
mm-hmm.
like how he communicated that day. Can you tell us, is that basically the same message he gave to the team that day?
The biggest message that is obviously it's a cliche of keeping it simple, but keeping it small. Like, that's what we have to do in a situation like this. And if you look at the small picture, we just came away from three games where we felt we played well, but we didn't get the results. So at the end of the day, that's not acceptable. So you pull the positives of what you're trying to do as a team, but then, hey, what do we have to do now to change to make sure that that outcome changes in the future here? And that's where I think Ralph's done a very good job with our group in speaking to the group, but then also in smaller, you know, whether it's this line or this power play group, just that dynamics of not always being the group mentality of individuals. And I think as, you know, Donnie Granato's got back into the mix here, been healthy and been working with us, I think our assistant coaches have done a good job with the development of our individual players. So as a staff, they continue to grow and hopefully have a strong second half here.
Jason Botterill with us. You are talking about the playoffs a little bit here. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's some work to do to make it. I think fans would like to think that there is, from a development standpoint, a lot coming into the equation here that would make people reinforce the idea that the Sabres are about to become a real contender.
Yep.
And I don't know where that is, where that stands, Jason. I'd like to hear you talk about this. I mean, since you've gotten here, important players have been traded away.
Yep.
And I know you have the Thompson injury, too. He was on the team last year. Mittelstadt is down there. What else, especially in terms of forwards? Because it seems to me that the Sabres have had this same lack of scoring depth past Jack Eichel for several years.
No, and I think Ralph's done a great job in getting the most out of Jack and continuing to work with Jack to expand his game. And, you know, obviously Victor Olofsson's had a great season so far. The injury hurts him, but, you know, unknowing Victor and his dedication, he's certainly going to come back from that. But just the continued development of Jack and Sam Reinhart and their production is, I think Ralph has done an excellent job there. Tage's disappointment. It's a disappointment thing for our entire organization just because of what we challenged Tage in the offseason. He went through with it. There was things for him to work on specifically in Rochester. I thought he did that. I thought he had a great start to the season in Rochester. Came up and obviously got the injury. It's just something that we have to deal with. Tage has to deal with it. And the good thing is he's going to have the opportunity to have a strong summer and be ready to go next year. With a player like Casey Mittelstadt, Casey could be up here in the National Hockey right now surviving, but we don't view that as a situation long-term with him. We view him as a player that can certainly help to and add to our offensive punch. And you've seen that in games, the first game of the season this year against Pittsburgh, out in L.A. He has that ability, but it now has to work from a consistent standpoint. And development, you wish it would just always be a linear approach and that you're always, you know, every day you're seeing improvement in players, but sometimes there's dips. And in a situation with that, we felt very comfortable placing him in Rochester with a coach and Chris Taylor that worked very closely with Casey at the National Hockey League level, had seen Casey's best games and also some of the games where he struggled and knew exactly what he had to work on for him to get back into the system here and what Ralph needs from him moving forward here. So that. I would also say, like, you look at the development of Rasmus Asplund, we've been happy about. He stepped in earlier than what we anticipated from that standpoint. And then I think just what we continue to try to add on our back end is players with that skill, that puck movement ability that can create more offense from our back end there. And you want, hey, we all would love our 19 and 20-year-old defensemen and Joakim Harju and Dahlin to be, you know, Norris Trophy winners this year and everything like that. But there's going to be a development process for those guys. And that's why we also wanted to bring up Lawrence Pilot. He's accomplished some things in the American Hockey League that we've been very happy with. We want to see how we fit in with our group here right now. And it's important for us as an organization to continue to develop these guys. And I think as an organization, it's finding ways to get more offense from our back end here to help out our forwards.
I'm just thinking, though, with due respect, we talked about the three players, Mittelstadt, Thompson, and Asplund, and they might have, and I'm just guessing here, 200 games in the league at this point, and how many goals is it? Like 20 goals? I don't even know how many goals it is, right? Like you've got guys, least so Asplund, who just doesn't have as much NHL experience, but beyond guys who've played in the league, is there hope for someone else in the organization to become a real scorer for you? And yes, of course, you're right to mention Olofsson, who's absolutely done that.
No, he certainly helped our group a lot there. We're excited about where Dylan Cousins is from his development. We think he had a very good World Juniors from a standpoint of being a player to rely on for Team Canada, gain that experience at elite level. And then, hey, look, it's our job to continue to find ways to get more of our players. I still think there's more offense to become from a player like Connor Sheary or a player like Jimmy Vesey. It's important to pull that out of it. You look at a player like Marcus Johansson has shown glimpses of it and has been a good leader for us, but I know Marcus also wants to contribute more offensively from that standpoint. So that's the responsibility of our players and also as an organization to find more players to support some of our young players.
So you mentioned here at the outset, like, some of the results haven't been there even though the performances were good games, and I have no problem with that. I would agree with it. The games against Boston specifically, I think, maybe have been some of your best games, and you haven't gotten any points out of those games. So the team has to perform. You need to get results. How much urgency do you feel to do something to supplement the group here? We started with trades. I guess maybe we'll end with trades. Like, do you feel some urgency to do something for the group to try to help even when Skinner comes back and eventually Olofsson?
Yeah, like, look, missing Skinner and Olofsson are big for our group from an offensive standpoint. But come on, like, everybody in the league has injuries that they deal with. And that's something that, you know, we have to continue to improve our depth to handle these injuries better in the future. But no, yeah, we want to make trades. We're looking to add to our group from that. I don't think we've been hit from that situation even all the way back to November. And people ask about, well, are you waiting to the trade deadline for these type of things? No, we're open to trying to find something that can certainly add to our group. But it hasn't materialized. we'll continue to look at it. And there's no use, I've mentioned this before, there's no use saying that, well, we're close on a trade or this and that. Until it actually happens and we announce something, it's just talk. And that's what we're trying to proceed with some things. It hasn't materialized, but we'll continue to look.
Yes, unless you tell us about every conversation you're having with almost trades. Maybe there are hundreds of those. So you just acknowledge, if you just admit those things, divulge that information,
those might be more
the talk
than the
can be
trade.
More interesting. Yes, we would know what's out there. And certainly,
for next time here, I'll bring my notebook so you guys can all have that, and we can follow up with all
It would be great if you had, like, stacks of notebooks with these things in it. Real quick, Jason, one more thing. Goaltending.
Yep.
Right, Carter Hutton is barely playing. Lots of goals are going in his last couple of games. Who can you at least say, like, who would be the guy? Is it Hammond? Like, we're not watching Rochester. Is he next? Or maybe this is more a question about younger guys, Lukanen or whoever in the organization. Like, what are the options?
So here, look, from a standpoint, we've been very happy with how Linus Allmark has been from a consistency standpoint. He's been able to handle more of a workload this year. I think he's done a very good job from that standpoint. We're disappointed in Carter's performance. Carter's disappointed in that performance, and that's what we're trying to find. You know, what is the trigger to get him back on track here? And the good thing is that's where his whole career has been. He's been someone who's been against the odds, sort of been counted out, and he's always found a way to get back. And that's where his work ethic and practice, and, you know, we're hoping that's going to trigger something here to help him out and help our group out in the second half. You look at it, we've had solid goaltending in Rochester throughout the season here. It's great to see Jonas Johansson make it to the American Hockey League All-Star game. You talk about a longer-term process, him playing a lot of the games in the East Coast League the last couple of years, now getting an opportunity to step in there. Andrew Hammond's a veteran player who we feel comfortable playing National Hockey League games. And you talked about Lukanen. We've brought him into Rochester this week. That was part of the plan way in advance to get him some experience practicing at the American Hockey League, going to get an opportunity to play games, and then we'll get him back to ECHL and continue his development there.
So Johansson is their number one at this time.
Johansson and Hammond are both. They both split the duties from that standpoint.
Okay, and Johansson is an all-star. Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Jason. Nice to see you.
I appreciate it, guys. You have a good evening.
Sabres GM Jason Botterill. More from 716. Pregame coming up. Sabres and Golden Knights here on WGR.
We want to make trades. We're looking to add to our group from that. I don't think we've been hit from that situation even all the way back to November. People ask about, well, are you waiting to the trade deadline for these type of things? No, we're open to trying to find something that can certainly add to our group, but it hasn't materialized.
Jason Botterill with us here at 716. We'll probably get into some of his comments here in a few minutes as the pregame show starts. Not a lot of time to do that here, and I'm still going over some of that in my head. Mm-hmm. Bulldog and Joe each of them a football trivia question before the show today. And there are three answers, and they each got one right.
Did we get the same one right?
No.
All right.
And I was when I started to ask you the question after having asked Joe the question, I'm again blanking on the terms. Three quarterbacks ever. Wasn't the passer rating one? I know.
No.
It was 70% completion percentage and 9 yards an attempt for the year. Qualifying players, so not like John Brown in the playoffs.
Is that adjusted air yards or just average air yards?
Like, yards per attempt.
Yards per attempt, okay.
Attempts.
Right.
Gotcha. Over total yards.
Okay.
Three quarterbacks ever have done it. 70% completion, 9 yards an attempt. Sammy Baugh in the 40s. That's the one Joe got right. Credit to Joe for knowing Sammy Baugh.
Really? He got Sammy Baugh.
That's the one
Sammy
he got.
Baugh.
Sammy Baugh. 1945 or 47?
I'm really going to ask this. Did you know that, or did you just take a stab at legendary old QB guy that you
know? No, yeah, that was the old one. He said black and white era, so yeah. I just thought Sammy Baugh.
Right.
Okay.
I gave them each. One from a black and white era, one from 80s, 90s, and one that's active.
My guess for that era was Bobby Lane.
Right. So Joe, 1-0. The 80s, 90s guy, you each guessed Dan Marino. The correct answer is Joe Montana. 70% completion percentage, 9 yards per attempt. So nothing cheap about it. That was 1989.
That still surprises me. Like, that's not I think of Montana, you think of Walsh, and you think of the West Coast offense, and you think of swing passes, right? So, like, you would think yards per attempt would be down in that kind of offense, but, you know, he did have Jerry Rice.
Rice and Taylor.
Right.
89-49ers. They're, I don't know if 84. 84, they lost one game, but 89 ends up winning 55-10 in the Super Bowl. Pretty dominant team. And the third correct answer, you got it right. Joe didn't. Ryan Tannehill. 70% completion percentage, 9 yards an attempt. Also, Tannehill is the first quarterback since 1960 to achieve a passer rating of 130 or higher in a game 6 times. And he did it in 10 starts. Regular season only. His 2 playoff games, numbers have been pretty low.
It is.
Still getting touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't know like how that stacks up and how historic what they've done or he's done as far as passing and playoff wins. But to be under 100 yards in consecutive playoff wins, passing, has to be something that doesn't happen often in the modern era.
Plus, the Patriot game was close. I mean, the Raven game is a game where, you know, right, you can kind of shut it down until they start scoring, and that never really happened. These are both from reporter Joe Shad, who tweeted these stats today. Saw them there. Huge stats for Tannehill. I mean, like an all-time great season.
Yeah.
10 starts. Pretty amazing. Next, Sabres pregame, Buffalo and Vegas tonight. We'll talk about some of Jason Botterill's comments about how the season is going and what the future may look like. We'll do that right after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 716 here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.